Two brothers, when united, form the Disney Majors, fighting the powers of evil with their mouths. Here's your hosts, Jake and Eli Hollingsworth.
Hello everyone, I'm Eli Hollingsworth and I'm joined by my brother,
Jake Hollingsworth. And hello everyone, welcome back to the Movie Majors podcast, where we are majors in movies.
Wow. Alright.
Why would I ever thought to say that
before? So, welcome back to the podcast. And our schedule's been a little wonky, but this upcoming new week, we're going to get back on schedule. Don't worry about that. I feel like we always have to say that, but
those past two episodes, Pocahontas and Hunchback, were pre-recorded.
Yeah, those were obviously because they were posted after the Super Bowl, and we were talking about stuff that was going to be at the Super Bowl. So that was weird. But anyway, the Super Bowl has passed, and we got a ton of movie stuff there at the Super Bowl. First of all, we got a Jim Carrey commercial where he was...
That was hilarious.
...and a wired person. Which was pretty funny.
Wasn't there like a Verizon commercial?
I don't know. There was 500,000. And they were all equally dumb, except for the Jim Carrey one, because Jim Carrey's awesome. And except for the movie commercials, because the movies...
Those were good.
...were good.
Well, except for the Ring of Power, the Lord of the Rings show.
Yeah, okay.
It looks like a video game.
I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast before, but yes, there's a new Lord of the Rings TV show coming to Amazon Prime September 2nd. It is called Lord of the Rings, The Ring of Power. Rings or Ring?
The Ring of Power.
The Ring of Power. And it's set thousands of years
before
The Lord of the Rings.
Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. It's adapting a story that... Not J.K. Rowling. What's his name?
J.R.R. Tolkien. Come on, Jake.
Tolkien, excuse me. Tolkien wrote that story but he never finished it before he died. And his son came along and finished it.
Well, see, I think that there's a story that exists that takes place thousands of years before Lord of the Rings and Hobbit, but I don't think this show is adapting that. Like, because it seems... I think it's an original story. Like, it's the same time period, but they just did a completely new story for whatever reason.
Well, you never know. And then... Also, we got some big teasers. We got a big teaser for the Doctor.
Well, let's talk about the Lord of the Rings show.
No one cares about the Lord of the Rings. It looks like a video game. That's what it looks like.
Because this is the most expensive TV show.
They put $465 million into this thing. That was their budget. It was insane.
Yeah, this is by far the most expensive TV show to ever be made, with a budget of $465 million.
And it's not going to theaters.
And I think that's a pretty big gamble, because also the showrunners, I forget their names, but they're also very new to showrunning. This is either their first show that they've done or one of their first. So Amazon's taking a pretty big gamble with this show, because even like after this, like the whole show as a whole is going to cost over $1 billion to produce. And it's going exclusively to streaming. So I don't, like, how do you expect to make that money back, Amazon? Because right now there are not very many people who think it looks that great, and I was holding out hope. I was like, well, you know, it can't be that bad, right? Like, I was holding out hope that it would be decent, but after this first trailer, I'm a little bit nervous. It doesn't, like, I'm not really seeing that $465 million. Who knows? The trailer was only, what, like 30 seconds? 1 minute at the most? Like,
movie-level budget is what they had.
Like, it more than a movie-level budget. The entire original Lord of the Rings trilogy cost like $200 million to make. This cost, or maybe it was $300 million, I forget. Three movies, and this show cost $465 million. So, yeah, I'm not seeing that $465 million.
It looks like super CG-heavy, and it looks like a video game.
Yeah, like, not a single part of it really looked real to me. It just looked like everything was on a green screen.
It looked super cartoon. And even the character who was hanging onto the mountain, she looked a little...
I know, I was like...
Whoever that was looked like cartoon. It looked a little bit like cartoon. It looked like an anime character come to life, almost.
Yeah, I was like, what? Is this person a real person, or are they a CG model?
It just looks like a video game. Like a really good video game.
Yeah, just like, because in the original Hobbit Lord of the Rings, they went to New Zealand and they filmed in these giant, grand scale, this huge scale of of all these giant mountains and fields and all this stuff that you
well, they actually did. They actually did go to New Zealand and even a few new places for to actually shoot on location.
But, so then, but why does the whole thing look fake?
I don't know.
It like, looks like the entire thing was shot.
I looked it up. They actually did go to New Zealand and film in some new locations. Actually, no, they actually never went to New Zealand. Actually, they actually went to like a bunch of different locations, but it just still looks like a video game.
Yeah, why does it look like a video game with a $465 million budget? That's more money than I'll probably ever make in my whole life. Like, that's...
Well, speak for yourself, Eli.
I was speaking for myself. I said that's more money than I will ever make in my whole life.
Yeah, maybe you should learn from someone. Anyway, so Lord of the Rings trailer makes it look...
mediocre.
Nah.
That's just sad because I was holding out hope. I wasn't just going to sit here and say, oh, they're making something new with the Lord of the Rings. It's going to stink right out of the gate. I was like, well, maybe it can be good. There's some potential there. But because it's been in development for years. Like, I've been hearing about it forever. Like, what, since 2017 or something? Mm-hmm. They were just like, oh, yeah, we're making a Lord of the Rings show. And now we're finally seeing stuff for it. And I don't know if it's going to be worth that four-year wait. No. Or even since, when did Return of the King come out? Like, 2005?
Return of the King came out...
Oh, wait, sorry, Hobbit. When did the last...
Hobbit came out, like, 2015, I want to say.
Yeah, so, like, even longer... So the, how... Like, a seven-year wait, which is not terribly long, actually. But that, like, that, I don't think it's... Yeah, it doesn't look that great. Speaking of not great, yesterday they announced that they're going to make a Despicable Me 4.
Which just, come on, let it die.
Yeah, then Illumination announced that they're going to be making a Despicable Me 4 after the Minions 2, which is already coming out. And Despicable Me 4 is going to be coming out, I think, July 23rd, 2024.
July 3rd, 2024, and just why?
Like,
why are you torturing us with another movie?
Yeah, it's coming out
July 3rd, 2024.
Yeah, July 3rd, 2024. And why? Yeah.
Just
I get it, actually.
Money.
I do get it.
Because things, money?
They make a lot of money. Nobody likes them, or at least, I guess, you know, some people do, because they make so much money. But why? Because they're not good movies. Like, the first movie was good. I'll even say the second movie was good.
I liked the second. I liked the first two. Minions movie, no. And then third one, why?
I liked parts of the Minions. I liked aspects of it. Like, kind of the whole... when did that even take place? Like, I don't know. But, like, 60s, 70s vibe. Like, I kind of liked that whole aspect of it. I thought that was kind of cool.
You just like the 60s for some reason. I never understand why.
So...
Get with the times.
I liked aspects of the Minions, but the movie as a whole was just kind of, you know, subpar. The third Despicable Me didn't really like that much at all. And now they're making a fourth one. And The Rise of Gru, The Minions 2, which is a sequel to the spin-off of Despicable Me.
A sequel to the prequel.
Yeah, a sequel to
I'm
the
prequel.
I'm
coining that. Sequel to the prequel. I'm coining that.
It just, that, the and that, when's that coming out? Is that even coming out anymore?
It's coming out like June of this year.
Because the Happy Meal toys came out like 2 years ago.
They did.
Why?
The reason they delayed it so long is because it wasn't finished.
Yeah, so that movie. And this is the same people that are making the new Super Mario movie. Yay.
Whoop-dee-doo. And they're also making the new Shrek movie, which
yeah,
is slipping under the radar.
Why?
Well, let's get on to probably the best TV spot / trailer they came out with by far at the Super Bowl, and that was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Which looks pretty epic, I gotta
say. It looks awesome.
I think Marvel fans are pretty excited right about now, because that trailer was pretty awesome.
Well, also, I think another reason people are excited for are cameos galore.
Yeah, which shouldn't be the main reason that you're excited for a movie. Like,
yeah,
that's that's kind of the sign when a company is running out of ideas. Like, oh, great, we're running out of ideas of new stuff to create, so let's bring in
old IP.
Stuff.
Yeah. It's becoming nostalgia, what you would call it, nostalgia machine is.
I just think that
movies now.
Movie companies, movie productions in general, are running out of ideas, because even Jurassic World 3, they're bringing back actors from the original Jurassic Park movies. Like, they're bringing back Jeff Goldblum, whatever his name is. And the other two, Laura Dern and the other guy. I'm sorry, I forget his name. But
are you back the kids?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. There's not. There's bringing back the original, the main three.
Maybe people. The kids got put in a timeout. Who knows? So
they're bringing back them. Like, see, like everything is going the whole nostalgia way. This era of movies that we're living in. Like, instead of pushing forward, inventing new ideas and franchises, all we're getting are sequels, reboots, remakes, prequels, spin-offs, like, you know, like, nothing is original anymore, and they're just, and even the stuff that is, quote-unquote, original is just drawing from older IP
to
create, like, it's just, like,
can even someone... Marvel's jumping in on it. Like, Spider-Man jumped on it, but Spider-Man did it best.
The only, like, something that looks like Lightyear... Like, you could say Lightyear is a, you know, whatever, a spinoff.
It's totally a spinoff.
It's, you know, you could say that, but Lightyear just looks awesome. I just gotta say, Lightyear looks absolutely amazing. Like, because not only, it's a spinoff, sure, but it's also pushing the brand, the realm of animation in, or not just of anime, like, on a story level, like, just the stuff that they're doing, the stuff that they're showing in the trailers, looks interesting and different, and it looks like inventive, not just like because there's no like Woody plug or any other references to the Toy Story franchise except just Buzz Lightyear is the main character. Everything else about it looks different, it looks new, it looks interesting. So I'm very excited about Lightyear. That's like the only exception, but everything else is just like everything about them is just drawing from old IP. And I'm a little disappointed in that, but is it exciting? Yes.
Is it cool? Yes, it is. It's just fun, but it doesn't really... As long as it, like, serves the story, it's good. Like, Doctor Strange, that's the main fear I have. I mean, it'll be fun to see Patrick Stewart Xavier, who is totally in that trailer. It'll be fun to see Tom Cruise as Iron Man. It'll be fun to see Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, who is totally in it. I'm not buying what he said. I'm really not in the movie. Quote Ryan Reynolds. Yes, you are. Quit it, you werewolf.
Yeah, he was doing press for the Adams Project.
He was asked directly if he's in Deadpool. He says, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that, but I'm really not in the movie. I promise you, I'm not in the movie. Yes, you are, Mr. Werewolf.
Yeah, the guy's like, oh, so what about Doctor Strange 2? Are you in that? He's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that, but yeah. Like, the first thing he says is, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that. So immediately, that's just like,
And the way he says, I'm really not in the movie. That's another clue.
Like, just how he's like, you're not allowed to talk about something that you're not in. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's pulling Andrew Garfield. He's totally the werewolf.
That's like if DC said to Robert Downey Jr., hey, Robert Downey Jr., you're not allowed to talk about the Batman. He's like, what, why? I don't know, because people are saying that you might be in the movie. Which, nobody's saying that Robert Downey Jr.
No, he's not. But,
like, they're like, people are saying that you might be in the Batman, so just... Like, you're not allowed to talk about it. That doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
So, if Ryan Reynolds is not in Doctor Strange 2 as Deadpool, and then why is he not allowed to talk about it? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Mr. Reynolds. So, like, basically, my thing is, as long as they do it, as long as these cameos serve the story, they'll be good. Because it'll be fun to see Patrick Stewart Xavier again one more time. Tom Cruise is an Iron Man variant. Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool showing up, setting up his third film, which is probably the reason why Deadpool will be in here to set up his next movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then also all these other rumor potential cameos, like, that would be awesome, as long as they serve the story, like what Spider-Man No Way Home did, they feel earned and they make sense, other than just, the multiverse is out of control and look at all these faces.
Like, it's fun to be like, oh yeah, look at that guy, I remember him from that movie. Like,
it'll also be fun to see Chris Evans walk out and yell, flame on.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, I remember that guy from 30 years ago or something, and it'll be fun to like be like, wow, look at that. But I can see it getting old like pretty soon, because everybody's doing it now, like, oh, look at that, remember that from however many years ago, and you're just like, wow. I feel like in like, I don't know, maybe even by next year, it'll just be like, wow, like,
why? Hey, it's that. You're like, hey, it's that guy, hey, look, it's this person, look, it's
I'm gonna
this.
Be tired of looking for people that are from past movies. Like, I'm just...
But I have confidence, because if Marvel can make Tobey Maguire... Spoilers. If Marvel can make Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield not feel like cameos, make them part of the actual plot, and it makes sense, then I'm sure they'll do a good job with Doctor Strange.
Yeah, maybe. Except in Doctor Strange, there's like 50 more cameos.
So some of them might not serve... Not all of them might serve, but I'm sure some of them will.
So the Doctor Strange trailer dropped at the Doctor Strange trailer dropped at the Super Bowl. And it looks awesome. I really like the this kind of whole. There's a nightmare tease. He says that I have a nightmare. Blah, blah, blah.
Because the original director wanted Nightmare as the villain. And now, but then he left because he wanted his movie to be rated R, but Marvel did not like that. So, long story short, there's nothing left, and they brought in Sam Raimi.
Yeah, so it looks really good. The trailer just looks absolutely awesome.
But Scott Derrickson still says he's excited for this movie. He reacted to the trailer and said that it looks really good, and he said Sam Raimi's going to do a really good job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's still very positive about this movie.
At least he's a good sport about it, you know?
Yeah. I'm having a bad day. It's about time that I get my way. Steamrolling whatever I see. Despicable me. I'm having a bad day. If you take it personal, that's okay. I don't know, I just wanted to play that song. Anyway,
I don't know why, I just whatever. It's a pretty decent song.
What else did we get?
Sonic the Hedgehog 2!
Sonic the Hedgehog 2, how can we forget about that one? It looks really good, they dropped a new trip.
I'm pretty much convinced that this is going to be the best video game movie of all time.
They also put out a new poster, and it looks really epic. It's going to be better than the first one. Maybe.
Because, to be fair, though, there haven't been very many great video game movies in general.
No, they came out with the new one, Uncharted, yesterday.
Yeah, Uncharted came out yesterday. Looks like a pretty generic action. Like, when I saw
everyone says it's Tomb Raiders of the Lost Ark starring Spider-Man.
I
saw one review say.
I saw, during the trailers, I was just like, this just looks like a generic action movie, action-adventure movie. Like, oh, we gotta find the gold.
You have to, do the puzzles and it's just find the...
Tom Holland's not doing anything new or different with himself. He's just Spider-Man. And Mark Wahlberg, pretty much from the trailers, looked just like he acts in...
Like himself.
Like every movie. And I heard someone say that that's exactly what it was. And so I was like, that's unfortunate. Because I was hoping that someone was going to come out of the theater and be like, oh yeah, the trailers made it look not that great, but it was actually great. You know, there was blah, blah, blah. And it was awesome, but they didn't. And they said pretty generic. And I was just like, well, that's exactly what I thought it was. So I don't know if we're even going to check it out.
I don't really want to.
I mean, I want to play the Uncharted games because I was looking at stuff I was looking at some gameplay from it.
The Uncharted game's so famous is that they're basically Indiana Jones without being Indiana Jones.
Mm. And they're just very cinematic as well. That's what I've always heard. And then I watched some gameplay and it just looks really cool. You're swinging from ropes and that's the lamest example.
It's basically Indiana Jones just without Indiana Jones and without fighting Nazis is basically what it has been described.
And just looking for treasure and killing people for no reason along the way. So I really want to play the games. The games look really cool. And I think that's why the games can get it, because the games probably are pretty similar to Indiana Jones in the way that they are, but since it's a video game and you have control of the action and it's a different tone, different vibe, then I think that they can get away with that. But when you make it a movie, which is what Indiana Jones was, then, and you don't make the characters true to how they are in the games, because Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg are not the two actors to play the main characters from Uncharted at all. And they're like, oh, it's an origin story. Okay, whatever. But I even heard that their dynamic from the games is not even present in the movie, so. How unfortunate. So, point of the story, there haven't been very many good video game movies. And even the first Sonic the Hedgehog movie, it was good.
It was a good movie.
But it did feel a tad bit
safe.
Because it was the Sonic lore. The Sonic lore is very wany. Wany.
And all they did was basically just a fish out of water story with Sonic. On a road trip fish out of water movie.
Yeah. Because the Sonic lore is very zany and wacky and kind of out there. And there's... It's not very, normal at all. It's kind of some weird stuff, but in the movie, they're just like, let's take all of that and then just have Sonic be in the real world because Paramount did not give them a very big budget, so they couldn't do the zany, wacky things.
They had enough in their budget for, one CGI character, and that was Sonic, so they couldn't really do anything else.
But the second movie looks like they actually increased their budget, and so they are able to go more in the wacky, zany way of the lore of the Sonic the Hedgehog, which is very much appealing to a lot of people, including me, who I love the Sonic lore and the games. I don't really play too many of the games, but the lore is more of what I'm about. Like, I've read a lot of the comic books, the new comic books, and the lore and the characters and the stories that happen. Like, I know pretty much what happens in a lot of the games. I haven't played them myself, but like, Jake and I, when we were little, we would always watch just gameplays with no commentaries on, like, Sonic the Werehog and, like...
Oh, yeah, that's right, we did.
Yes, and I just said Sonic the Werehog, which is a game where Sonic at nighttime turns into a were-hedgehog. Pretty weird. Like, see, that's just a perfect example of the weird Sonic lore that just... I really like. I think it's really cool, and I really like the Sonic lore. And it seems like we're going to be getting a lot more of that represented in the new movie. So I think that's what a lot of Sonic fans are excited about. I think pretty much every Sonic the Hedgehog fan is excited for the new movie.
Yeah, no one's complaining about it like they did with the first movie. Everyone seems pretty excited for it.
Yeah, like I think the first movie was pretty mixed for a lot of Sonic fans, but the second movie, I think a lot of Sonic fans are excited.
They have more actual Sonic lore pieces. Like, they have the Emerald, they have Knuckles, they have Tails, so definitely people are gonna be a lot more happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm very excited about the new movie. I think it looks amazing. Because they actually had the budget to do Tails, Knuckles, the Death Egg.
I think it's just an Eggman robot, but it could be the Death Egg.
The Master Emerald, which is going to be exciting. So, the new movie looks, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 looks incredible. And they also announced a Knuckles spinoff series and Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
So, thankfully, we will be getting a Sonic the Hedgehog trilogy.
Which is very exciting. That's going to be awesome.
So, they're going to be utilizing Paramount Plus in order to do, like, spinoffs and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. A Sonic Cinematic Universe, that's going to be awesome.
Knuckles, the series starring Idris Elba reprising the role.
I hope that the new movie succeeds, so we can get these.
I'm sure it will.
Because it does look really good. So, also, what else do we have?
I think that was it. That's everything.
Oh, let's talk about the Book of Boba Fett.
What's there to say?
We were talking about the book, we've been talking about the Book of Boba Fett on the podcast, and we've been tolerating it. Because I think all Star Wars fans, when it started, just had this perpetual hope that it would get better. Oh yeah, this is just the beginning. They're just setting things up, right? It'll get going. Then we get to episode 4, and it still hasn't gotten going. And then episode 5 was just a Mandalorian episode.
Episode 6 was Star Wars. And then episode 7 was Boba Fett again.
Episode 7 was a pretty subpar finale to... A pretty subpar show.
It was solid enough, I guess.
In my final review of the show, I'd probably give it... The first episode, I'd give it a 7 out of 10. And the second episode, I'd give a 6 out of 10. And the third episode, I'd give a 5 out of 10. And the fourth one, I'd give a 5 as well. Then the fifth episode, I'd give a 9 out of 10 because it wasn't even about the show, the same show. Episode 6, I give it 9.5. This is some of the best stuff that I've seen in Star Wars in a long time. And episode 7, I'd give a 7 out of 10 because it was... Actually, I might even give it a 6. Yeah. It was pretty subpar. Just mediocre, not very exciting, not very interesting, just... The problem, we already explained the problems in this show.
Go to the Movie Majors YouTube channel, we will explain how we fixed the Boba Fett show, but...
So, in our final thoughts on the show...
Overall thoughts on the show, it was a solid enough Star Wars show. Mainly, I just wish that it was a little bit more focused on what it was about, and a little bit more focused on its title or character, and it was a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. But we're not going to go into all of that again because I feel like I've explained it in 1,500
times. That's my big hangout with Boba Fett. It's an okay show. Just wish that the story and the main character were more focused on and interesting.
Yeah. So watch our video on the Movie Majors YouTube. It's called Fanboys Rewrite the Book of Boba Fett. I'm pretty proud of that video.
History, DuckTales, woo!
I'm pretty proud of that video. I think it turned out pretty good, so... Go watch it on the Movie Majors YouTube. It's pretty good. We explain our problems with the Book of Boba Fett, and we also offer ways to fix the Book of Boba Fett. So check it out. Give it a watch. It's pretty long. It's like a podcast episode, but I think you'll enjoy it. So that's the Book of Boba Fett. I think that's everything pretty much for today.
So thank you guys for making that such a little news catch up. So catch up. So after being delayed for a few weeks. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed. No, I'm just kidding. So be sure, okay, now we're gonna cut away to our sponsorship, and now we're talking about the movie of the week, Hercules.
We are the muses, goddesses of the arts and pro. proclaimers of heroes.
Yes, this is
Hercules.
Honey, you mean Hercules.
This is
I'd like to make some sweet music.
That's us.
This is many eons ago. Oh,
that's a good song. Back when the
world was new. The planet Earth was
down on its luck. Oh.
Ran amok.
It was a nasty place. There was a mess wherever you stepped.
Where
chaos reigned and earthquakes and volcanoes never slept.
Woo! Save your friend.
And then along came Zeus. He hurled his thunderbolt. He said, lock those suckers in a vault.
I'm sorry, I just love this song.
It's a good
music is amazing.
You listen to this song a lot. You do.
I do?
Yes, I've seen you listen to this like album all the time.
Cause it's a great album.
It's a good album. I'm surprised at how much you listen to it. Catchy. We're not gonna play this whole song, are we?
I don't know. Maybe.
Is this like your favorite song, or is it Zero to Hero?
I don't know, I'm like, okay, we need to stop it now, but it's so great, it's just amazing.
Okay, Eli, that's
okay,
enough.
Fine, we'll stop it. Wait, that's the next song, never mind.
We're talking about Hercules, in case you couldn't tell.
Yeah, that's the gospel truth from the 1996 movie,
1997.
Yeah, I do that.
Wait, yes, 1997.
1997 movie Hercules from Disney Feature Animation.
Hercules.
Which I guess I can make our behind the scenes nugget for today about the music. When Alan Menken, who made the music, which is why it is amazing, because he is amazing. The reason why that music is so great is because, first of all, of Alan Menken, but second of all, it's a very odd choice. Like when you present, like, oh, Hercules, Alan Menken thought, oh yes, Hercules, you know, that's like a Greek tragedy, or I'm thinking very classical, I'm going to do like a kind of a, you know, a very classical contemporary style. And then the directors, I think, Ron Clements and John Musker. Yes, the directors
Ron
of Aladdin.
And John Musker, the directors of Aladdin.
Disney Legends made the Hercules.
This was their fourth animated film that they directed, and this was Hercules. This is probably one of their best.
No, it's actually their third, because Ron Clements directed The Great Mouse Detective. John Musker didn't direct it.
Oh, so well, close enough.
So it's Ron Clements' fourth feature animated film, but not John Musker's, at least directing. So Hercules, when Alan Menken was presented with the idea of doing the music for Hercules, he was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go very classical and, like, you know, dramatic and blah, and like that. I keep saying blah, blah, blah a lot. I realize that. I'm going to try to stop. But he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to do classical, very, you know, dramatic and that kind of thing. And then the directors, Ron and John, were like, no, we were thinking that you do gospel music. And he was like, what? Gospel music? That doesn't work at all. He was like, what? That doesn't make any sense for Hercules. And then he tried it, and it actually turned out really well, because the music in Hercules is absolutely amazing.
It's off the chain, definitely.
Did you just say off the chain?
Yeah, that's an actual expression. Have you not heard it?
No, I've heard it. I just don't like you saying it.
Off the chain. How does that sound?
Better. So
yo, Eli.
Let's see, Gospel Truth 3. Let's hear that.
Oh boy, you're obsessed with this. Young Huck was mortal
now. See, it's just amazing music.
This is one of those things where I talk and then you interrupt me with music again. Oh, that reminds me of something.
What?
Young Hercules in this movie.
I was just about to talk about that.
That song just reminded me of that point I wanted to make. Young Hercules in this movie. So it's Hercules has two voice actors. It's not obvious like it was for a certain character in Sword of Stone. Cough, cough. Arthur. Cough,
like,
cough.
Three, and they all sound like completely different. He's like, hi, Merlin. Like, literally, one scene, he's like, Merlin!
Merlin!
Like, that's what he does.
Merlin.
That's what happens in one scene.
What happens? So yeah, Hercules has two voices. That's because he's younger at the beginning of the movie, and then he gets older, and then changes to a different voice. So the original voice actor for young Hercules is named Josh Keaton. Why do we know that? Because Josh Keaton is a famous voice actor. He voiced Linus when he was little.
Linus from Charlie Brown.
He voiced Linus Van Pelt. He played young Hercules. He's got a bunch of different roles, but the role that me and Neil, I know him best for is that he was in this little cartoon called The Spectacular Spider-Man, and he was the lead role of Spider-Man. And he is possibly one of the best, if not the best, Spider-Mans out there.
Yeah, we've talked about Spectacular Spider-Man on the podcast before.
We have, but we've never given it its own episode to review.
Well, we'll do that soon, but...
Why have we not done that?
I don't know.
Because we reviewed the Raimi trilogy and the Andrew Garfield movies all in one podcast, which, how did we do that? And then we reviewed Spider-Verse, but we never thought to review Spectacular Spider-Man, which I'm like, why didn't we think to do that?
Yeah. So that was, that's pretty cool. And the reason why, it's not like Josh Keaton was the voice of young Hercules, and that of older Hercules, like Josh Keaton got older and then they replaced him. It was because Hercules was younger, so they used a younger voice actor. It wasn't like Sword in the Stone, where it was the same character, the same age throughout the whole thing, and then they were just like...
switching voices, and it was super painfully obvious.
In this movie, it served a purpose because Hercules got older, so therefore they had to get an older voice actor.
One day, when you are older... you could get hit by a boulder.
That is, like, not related to what we just talked about at all.
Seagulls, stop it now. Seagulls are annoying, you guys.
Again, not relating at all to what we were just talking
about. I'm sorry.
All right, so how about Go the Distance on Spotify?
Go the Distance is probably the best one. That the Zero to Hero is really good. I like Zero to Hero.
I mean, Go the Distance is, like, superficially as a song, it's pretty great. But, like, I don't know if it's my personal favorite. I really like, again, the gospel songs.
Oh, boy.
Gospel music is awesome, you guys. It's really great. Let's see. There was, like, yeah, there's One Last Hope, which isn't...
No, it's not, but...
As a song, it's not that great because Danny DeVito is singing.
Danny DeVito cannot sing.
He's not really that great.
No, it's a good song, it's just he can't sing.
I mean, I love Danny DeVito. I really like Danny DeVito. I don't love him, but I think he's really funny. I really like him. But he...
No, I know who the standout character in this movie is.
Phil?
Hades.
Oh.
Hades is the best Disney villain by far. My favorite. I keep debating about which Disney villain I like the best, but after watching this movie, I'm like, oh no, it's solidified now. It's Hades. Hades is amazing.
Personally, Jafar will still always be my favorite Disney villain, just because he's from Aladdin, but Hades is... definitely top five.
Top five?
Because I still think, like, as a villain, I don't know if he beats out Maleficent, because, like, Maleficent's, like, pure evil.
Well, that's true.
So, like, as
we never really got to know Maleficent very well, either. Even though she was, like, pure the embodiment of evil, we never really got to know her all that well.
Well, that's kind
of...
That's
but better. At the same time, that was kind of for the
like, best. I feel like that's more of what a villain should be. Because Hades, like... does he pose a threat? Sure, but like by using other things, because by himself he's not really that much. Like when it's just Hercules and Hades in a room, there's no like suspense at all, because Hercules just totally destroys Hades,
just wallops them.
Even though Hades is the god of death, so like he should, I don't know, I feel like he should have more power. But in Hercules, like he just kind of seems by himself, just a little like... His personality is what stands out, but him, like, posing a threat or actually, like...
He poses a threat because he holds Meg, like, hostage.
Yeah, by using more of his mind and other things. Not, like, him by himself, he doesn't have the pure strength or, like, it doesn't pose a threat at all just by himself like Maleficent does.
Yeah.
Like, but if you walk into a room with Maleficent... then
you're
like,
dead.
Like, yeah, you automatically are pretty scared because, you know, she can just like bam turn you into a frog or something and then kill you somehow.
Turn into a worm, a step on you.
Like, she can do anything. She has the power of magic on her side. But Hades even though he's a god,
hilarious.
Like, he's a god, so therefore he should be a little bit more threatening, but he's not for whatever reason. So I don't know, because Hades personality wise, like a guy, what's the guy's name again?
James Wood was the voice of Hades.
He does a fantastic job. Like Hades in this movie is awesome. He's very fun to watch.
Didn't he test a bunch of different voices for Hades before he came in?
Yeah, during the movie, the directors were testing a bunch of different actors, and they were all kind of doing the same thing. Just trying to be more of what Maleficent was, like evil villain,
just a male version.
And then James Wood came in came in and then just did like James Wood. And they, because that's apparently how he is, like in other movies, I guess. Like, that's kind of James Wood.
Hey, he's Lord of the Dead.
I haven't seen him in anything else, so. But then the directors were really intrigued by that, and then they decided to cast him. So he pretty much got that interview nailed. But that him as Hades is such a good job. I think he is hilarious in this
movie.
He is
the best. That's why he's a standout character in this movie, because he's the best. He's probably one of the best Disney villains. He's my...
I will admit,
there are villains who are like objectively more evil than he is, but he's my favorite. Personal favorite after just watching this movie. My personal favorite villain is Hades.
Yeah, like on an evil standpoint, he's definitely not the most evil or like scary.
He is evil, but he's not the most threatening.
Yeah, or like scary Disney villain at all. But as a character, he's very fun and lively, and he definitely stands out. Like when you walk away from watching Hercules, you remember Hades as a villain. So the movie itself, though, besides Hades, I think this movie is very good.
It's a great movie.
I really enjoy this movie. When it first came out, it didn't do that well at the box office.
But it's gained a cult following, and like a lot of people...
I think a lot of 90s kids really like it.
A lot of people like really like this movie. It has its fans. I would definitely say I'm in that group. I'd definitely say it's a very underrated film. It deserved better.
You know what
I think? And also, after a lot of people were suggesting that it should... It's definitely the Russo brothers. It's been confirmed that the Russo brothers are directing a live action Hercules remake.
Yeah, which is, you know what? It's sad that every time we talk about a movie here, we always mention that there's a live action remake. Like for almost every movie, like since we've gotten into the Renaissance, basically every movie that we've been talking about, we're like, oh, and then there's our live action remake. That's really sad that for like almost all of these movies, there's a live action remake.
Well, actually, except for two of them so far. Except for not counting Rescue Sent Under and Pocahontas, there has not been a live action. There has been a live action remake of the movies we've covered in the Renaissance.
Exactly. Like it's just stop with the live action remakes. Is it cool?
Well, some of them have already come out. Like Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin have already come out. Mm-hmm. And then there are others like Little Mermaid and Hunchback, and now Hercules that are in the works.
Yeah,
being worked on.
You know what I think? I think that in this movie, Hades should have gotten a song. I don't know why he didn't.
But why didn't he get a song?
I feel like he didn't have a good villain song. I feel like there's another thing that's missing from Hades.
A villain song, is that he doesn't have one.
Like Jafar, one of the reasons why he's such a great villain is he has that song where the villain like prances around and does their like.
Well, they did say that. There's hope for the live action Hercules remake because they said it's gonna keep certain point. They're gonna keep the songs and certain beats from the original, but also make it different. And they're going to keep the original songs while adding in new ones. So, yeah. A Hades song could be on the horizon.
Yeah, I hope it is. But it's...
But you know who they should cast?
If they don't cast James Wood as Hades, then what's really the point?
They could cast Jeff Goldblum.
I know that's what a lot of people are saying. But see, we shouldn't be being like, oh yeah, who can they cast to replace James Wood? Like, that shouldn't even be a thing. Why do we have to replace them in the live-action remake that nobody, that true Disney fans would look at and say, yeah, no, the original is always going to be better. But like, the casual fans, for whatever reason, are just like, oh yeah, new one,
well,
it's shiny.
They make these remakes is to, one, make money, and two, they want to like, draw audiences in so they can go back and watch the original.
But see, that's the thing. They don't. Like, all of our friends are just like, oh yeah, the live-action remake's better. And it's just like, they're like, oh, it's shiny, bright colors, ha ha ha, therefore it's better. Like, it has better special effects. And I'm like, special effects is like 20% of a movie. story is about 90%. Music is in there somewhere. And music is a very big part of the movie. So special effects, let's say special effects is 10%, okay? And then music is like 40%. And story is like 50%. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Anyway, this is a great movie. It has a lot of really good songs. There's a lot of really good art pieces in this movie. Like, there's a lot of really clever comedy thrown into this movie.
I think that, like, I always, when I watch an animated movie, I always say, what warrants this to be an animated movie? And could it have been live action? Like, that's why I always say, what was the last movie?
Punchback.
I feel like it could have been a live action movie because there was nothing to warrant it being animated.
Except other than the gargoyles, it could not have been animated. Exactly. It could have been live action.
If there was, then you could have easily taken it out and it wouldn't have done very much.
But then here, this could I guess this could be both, because we have CGI technology now. So it could be both.
I'm talking about the initial concept of this movie, like, say this movie has never been made before. And then someone's like, all right, I want to make a Hercules movie. Should they make it? Which one would benefit the story they're trying to tell more, animated or live action? I think animated. The way the movie turned out, it has this very stylized Greek, almost caricature stylization to it that I think very much warrants it being in animation, especially with, like, Phil, who's a central part of the story, so you can't really take him out.
He's a satyr.
He is another factor, like, animated by the great Eric Goldberg, who also animated The Genie in Aladdin. You can definitely see that here. He's probably one of my favorite supervising animators of all time. He just does a great job with the whole squash and stretch style of animation and just making the characters feel lively, and the way they move is just so interesting and cool. And I think that this movie definitely very much warrants itself being animated, because again, there's a lot of caricature, there's a lot of stylization here that you couldn't really get in a live action movie. Like the characters' elbows, like Hercules' elbows, they're not like little line stuff, they're like swirls, they're like a spiral for the detail on his elbow. It's a very curvy kind of round Greekish design. It looks Greek, I guess that's what you would call it. It definitely has a distinct style to it that I think elevates the story and the music and basically everything and the voice acting and everything about it that definitely warrants and makes it deserve to stay in the animated medium instead of going to live action. I feel like they would have to change a number of elements to make it work in the same way in live action. Which I don't think that as much as the Russo brothers are, yes, they're great directors, they do a great job, I don't think the live action remake is going to be better than the anime. And I don't think the live action remake is ever.
None of them are ever better than the original.
Yeah, no, because it's just a copy of something that's already been done. But I definitely don't think in this case that it can be as good as the original. Because the story itself, people call it boring, don't they?
Yeah, some people say it's boring.
I think it. I don't agree with that because I think it moves.
It's very entertaining. I don't see where they're coming from. Though.
It moves right along. The characters are lively. The music is good. The voice acting is good. Everyone fits their parts. There's no part where I found myself bored throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, that's like the audiences when it first came out. Everyone was bored. Was really super bored.
I think it's a very interesting mix of things. And it's a very cool mix of it's a very clever, you say Hercules. People think Greek tragedy. People think classical music. They say, no, we're going to do gospel music. And we do Rocky inspiration for the story, which I think was a very clever idea. And I think it works very well.
Because, the whole thing of go to distance is very Rocky inspired.
Yeah.
And the whole fact that he's being trained by an older mentor and he's having to fight a bunch of different people, that is Rocky inspired.
I think that it definitely works to the film's benefit. And it was a very clever idea. I really liked that the direction they took with the story. I think it worked very well, and first of all, telling the story they were trying to tell in an interesting way, but also making it appealing to a modern audience, which it wasn't at the time, but now it kind of is. I think there's a lot of merit.
It could be called ahead of its time.
I think it was pretty it's very witty, clever ideas and premises in here that I think work really well to the film's benefit. Definitely was a very nice mix of ideas and people and styles that all come together to make a pretty good movie, I think.
It's a really good movie. It's probably better. It's better than Pocahontas and Hunchback combined.
I think people say that there are some issues with the tone here and there. Like, you get very cartoony and you also have very serious at the same time. But I think, again, the whole movie has this kind of stylization to it that I think kind of ties certain those parts together in a nice way. I don't think there's nothing really stands out here to me that I'm like, wow, that's a big mistake. I personally really enjoy Hercules. I think
it's a great movie. Yeah,
it's entertaining. It's fun. It's clever. It's got a lot of great stuff in here. I think it is very good. And it has a nice message, and it has the kind of the hero's journey story.
Not necessarily chosen one, but it's definitely like a hero's journey, goes on an epic adventure to go to distance.
Yeah, I just think it's a very clever mix of stuff that all it's entertaining, it's fun, it's clever, it's lively, it's a good movie. I like it. I really like it. I think you really like it too, don't you?
Yeah, it's a great movie. Like, I forgot how much I like it until you watch it again. Yeah. It's better than Pocahontas and Hunchback combined. Definitely.
I think this one is pretty underrated, in my opinion.
It's probably one of my favorite out of the Renaissance Disney films, for sure. This is the one that's awesome.
Like, this is your favorite out of the Renaissance?
I said it's one of my favorites because it's great. Oh, yeah. Well, it might be, maybe, but it's awesome. It's like Hades is amazing. It's just the music is really well done. It's just a good movie.
Yeah, and can Hercules be a little bit bland as a character? Sure.
Yes, he can.
The stuff with Hercules has been done before, but I think that all the other characters and all the other things happening in this movie are clever enough that I can kind of forgive Hercules as a character, because all the stuff that's happening around him and all the stuff in the movie that's done around him is done pretty masterfully and in a clever and interesting way. So, Hercules. I'd probably give this one an 8.
I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
A 9 out of 10.
It's a great movie.
Wow.
Bold claim, I know.
Yeah, I'd give it an 8. Yeah, 8.2 maybe. I really enjoy it. I think it's a great movie. So, yes, that is our podcast. Thank you for listening. Jake, close us out.
So, thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed. Don't forget to go watch Eli at Hollingsworth Enterprises. One via GBHG. It's one of the best at Minecraft Madness, Hollingsworth Gaming, and the Movie Majors YouTube channel. All on YouTube. Be sure to check out the X-Files podcast I have with Eli Spencer and the Spectacular Spider Nerd podcast I have with myself. Keep it in this podcast.
And you'll hear us real soon.